Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
I am so excited because today I get to have a three-peat guest in studio. Jeannie Kenyon has a brand new devotional that, y'all, this book, the depth and the richness and just Jeannie's walk with the Lord and her writings over the years have impacted my life so deeply. And her writings on parenting, her writings on the Holy Spirit, and just her life has pushed me so much closer to Jesus. And it's so interesting because the title of her devotional is Closer to God. And when I think of Jeannie, I think of someone who just oozes this relationship with Jesus. Closer to God, a 40-day pursuit of God's personal presence is the name of her new devotional. Jeannie, thank you so much for being in studio with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me back. I love all of our conversations. And like you said, your writing, your leadership, your thoughts have been so profound in my life. So thank you for all that you do. And it's just an honor to be with you again. Mm.
So this book, when you open it up, you instantly know this is not some fluffy devotional.
Yes.
And I love that about you because you challenge us to really go deeper, mm-hmm. to not stay on the surface. And you have 40 questions. Mm-hmm. Each of the devotionals are a question. And I'm just going to read a few of them because I feel like so many people, they're asking the hard questions,
yes.
but it can be a little bit scary because, you know, we're thinking it inside, but to actually verbalize it, who is the Holy Spirit? How does God manifest himself in me? How do we see intimacy modeled by Jesus? What determines depth of intimacy with God? Who leads us to repentance? What leads us to repentance? And just on and on, I saw so many themes of intimacy and repentance throughout what you were writing here. And I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit about what was your heart behind writing this devotional?
Yeah, you got to come to this devotional ready for a feast, you know? I wrote a book called Don't Miss Out several years ago, and it was really a study of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It was 30 benefits to the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. And that was so revealing to me as somebody who had been following Jesus since she was 8 years old and yet had so little knowledge of the role of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. And so that was really a study of who he is, what he does, and why it matters so much. And then because the Holy Spirit is in us to stir a greater hunger for God in us, that's where this devotional was birthed out of. Like when you begin to welcome the person of the Holy Spirit, when you begin to lean into his presence, when you stay in step with the Holy Spirit, he is going to stir in you a hunger and a thirst for Jesus like you have never known. It's what he's given to us to do, right? Jesus said, he will glorify me. And so by welcoming the Holy Spirit, coming to know the Holy Spirit, then he stirs in us this desire for a deeper life with God, for a more vibrant life with God. It doesn't matter how close you are to God. You can always get closer. It doesn't matter how deep you've gone. That's the beauty of our God. The depths are unfathomable, right? And so he just really stirred in me a desire for a deeper life with God. And so that's what spurred this devotional. And so I began to wrestle with the questions like, how do I have a deeper life with God? How can I have an even more vibrant relationship? And ultimately, how can I know his presence? Because his presence is life.
Mm.
And I think we associate his presence with like these mountaintop experiences or even these valley experiences. But the reality is we are meant to experience God and to be in communication with him all throughout our day. His presence isn't reserved for mountaintops and valleys. It's for washing dishes and driving carpool and going on walks. Mm-hmm. And I know so many Christians who feel like God's presence isn't possible for them,
mm-hmm.
that there's this formula that you have to figure out in the Christian life in order to enjoy his presence, in order to just know that he's here with us now and to really tangibly feel his love and his comfort. And so it grieves me that there's so many Christians who feel like that's something they haven't yet achieved, or that's the formula they haven't figured out, right? They say, I've talked to so many women who say, you know, women say they open their Bibles and they encounter God and they hear a word from God. But I open my Bible and I just see words, right? Or I keep showing up for God in prayer, but I feel like he's ghosting me. I'm talking, but he's not talking back. And they feel like that's something they have to achieve. And so my desire in the devotional was to say, hey, God's purpose for you is to know his personal presence. And it doesn't matter if you put your trust in him yesterday or 50 years ago. It is fully available to you because he put his spirit in you. Mm. And I want people to enjoy his personal presence, because in his presence, we are transformed. In his presence, we are filled with his joy and his hope and his peace. It's the same thing as saying abiding, right? It's just another way to say, I want to abide in him. I want to stay in his presence. I want to stay connected to him. And it is possible for every person who has put their trust in Jesus.
As you're saying this, I'm thinking of messages that I've gotten from people in the recent months who are saying, I see this relationship you have with God. I feel like I can't get there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to have what you have. How do people start cultivating this relationship with God when they feel like he's just this person like they want to get to know, but there's this divide between them?
Yeah. I had a very similar conversation with a woman just the other day. She said, Jeannie, I've been showing up to this same Bible study for 10 years and I keep showing up, but I still don't feel that intimacy that you say is possible for all of us. And so there's several topics in the devotional that we unpack that help us see both the barriers to intimacy with God and then kind of the things that we can proactively be doing. The first and most important thing to know is that if you have put your trust in Jesus, God has put his spirit in you. You have God's personal presence already. So now how do you begin to enjoy that, lean into that, experience it? So there's several things, but I think a couple of the most important ones that we could touch on would be, the first is, we've kind of already said it, but welcoming the Holy Spirit. Mm. Resisting the Holy Spirit is a barrier to intimacy with God. And so if we resist him, which I understand we do, because there's so many misconceptions, there's so many misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit, and so we might resist him, or I wasn't even resisting him, I was just ignoring him. Mm. Because I did not understand the essential role he played in a flourishing Christian life. And so the first thing is a barrier to Holy Spirit. So think about that. Are there barriers to intimacy with God in your life because you're skeptical of the Holy Spirit, or you just don't know that much about the Holy Spirit? So an openness to him is going to profoundly change your intimacy with God. Mm. Another barrier, which I think a lot of us can relate to, is the performance mentality. You cannot enjoy an intimate relationship with God if you are busy performing for him. Mm-hmm. There is no intimacy where there is not authenticity. And so I spent a great deal of my life performing for God. God, are you proud of me? It's like what kids do with their parents, right? Our kids will say to us, hey, mom, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look what I just accomplished. Aren't you proud of me? And while that can be a beautiful moment of connection with our children, if they believe that that's the only thing that makes us proud of them is their performance, I mean, we know that's really problematic, right? How can we have an authentic, loving relationship with our kids if they think that the only thing we care about is what they can call our attention to that they've accomplished, right? And so performance is such a barrier to intimacy with God. And I know that because I lived it. Hmm. I wanted to make God proud of me, not only in the way I loved him, but in the way I parented my kids. And yet I knew I failed every day. I missed the mark with God every day. I got something wrong with one of my kids every day. And so I was so worried that I needed to do something to make God proud of me again. And that is a barrier to intimacy. And so for those of us who are still living in that mindset or that mentality of, Lord, I'm going to do better tomorrow. I know I let you down today, but I'm going to do better tomorrow. just the remembrance and the reassurance that when you put your trust in Jesus, you are covered in the perfection of Christ, and that his performance is now your performance. His record of perfection is now your record of perfection, and that God loves you not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has done on your behalf. And when we know that, and when we let that sink in, man, that changes everything. Because now, instead of performing for God, I repent. And I'm not afraid to repent. Like, Lord, I don't have to perform for you. Your love for me is already unconditional and unchangeable because of what Jesus did for me. So now I don't have to be afraid to come to you every day and say, Lord, I missed the mark. This is where I got it wrong. We think of, okay, so let's talk about repentance, okay? Maybe when the word repentance comes up, you see like an angry dude on a street corner with a sign and a megaphone, right? Telling you to make sure that your eternal security is taken care of, right? It's this harsh, kind of angry repent. Not all the time, but I think sometimes the word repentance brings to mind, or like a situation you've been in church where there's a stern look and a pointed finger, and it's just this kind of word of condemnation, right? So if we can understand that coming to God with our repentance is not for reprimand, but for refreshment, oh gosh, how does that change our willingness to do that, right? So repentance is not just this thing we do that one time when we put our trust in Jesus. Repentance is this daily practice. It's the rhythm of Christian living, of coming back to Jesus every day and saying, Lord, this is where I messed up. This is where I missed the mark. If not in word and deed, then in thought and motive, because we all know Jesus cares about the heart, right? And so now I'm free to go to him and not be afraid of reprimand because my performance for him wasn't perfect. Now I go to him and I say, Lord, forgive me. Confession, but repentance. Repentance is turning from it. So confession is to say what's true, but repentance is to truly say, Lord, I want to turn from this. I don't want to do what grieves you. And if I don't want it, help me want to want it, right? We all know, let's be honest, we all know we have things in our lives, rebellion, sin, whatever it is, where we don't even know if we want to turn from it, right? It brings us comfort, or it brings us whatever it does. And so we have to go to him and say, help me want to repent from that. You can pray that too. But then what he does is, instead of reprimanding us, he forgives us. Scripture says repentance leads to refreshment. So the Lord wants to refresh you. He wants to revive you. He wants to wash you clean when you come clean and then put you back on your feet again. That's repentance. And I think if we can see repentance as not going to Jesus to rehearse all the things we got wrong to beat ourselves up, but to receive his forgiveness and refreshment and to be put back on our feet again, I think it will change the way we long to do it. And it's a dramatic difference from feeling like you have to perform. And I do really believe that if we will trust God enough to go to him with our repentance and let him refresh us, the intimacy that begins to grow, we cultivate intimacy through repentance. And it's a game changer for people who feel like they don't experience that withness or that closeness, because how can you, when you think that God's love for you and delight in you and acceptance of you is all based on whether you get it right or whether you get it wrong.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This month is about gratitude. And when I think about the people that I'm grateful for, I have to say that one person I'm very grateful for is a therapist who years ago had a deep, deep impact on my life and my parenting. And as I wrote about in my book, Love Centered Parenting, really radically changed the way that I approach parenting, and really then impacted my relationships with my kids and just the overall tone of our home. I don't know whether you've benefited from therapy or not, but you might have a similar story where you have just felt so much gratitude to someone who has said something that has really impacted your life and really shifted things for you in a positive way. Maybe you're listening, you're thinking, I would love to have that in my life because I'm feeling stuck or I'm struggling in this area. Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And I love that you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/CrystalPain today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CrystalPain. The holidays are better when you're not feeling guilty or worried about carbs. And with Hero Bread, you can have things like soft, fluffy bread without having to worry about carbs, because they have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and are high in fiber. So you can enjoy things like grilled cheese with a cozy pumpkin soup, or buttery Hawaiian rolls with family dinner, or French toast casserole around the holidays. I love their bread. I especially love it toasted with lots of butter. And sometimes I will even sprinkle it with a little bit of Truvia and cinnamon. It is so good. I love that they have so many different products. So things like sliced bread loaves that I was just talking about, tortillas, and Hawaiian rolls. And they also have monthly small batches of indulgent favorites like 2 gram net carb hero croissants and more new surprises coming after the holidays. You'd never know it's low carb and high fiber bread from the texture. So get the soft, fluffy experience you know and love with your next savory breakfast sandwich, late night grilled cheese, or family taco Tuesday. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order of their new recipe. Go to hero.co and use code CRYSTAL at checkout. That's CRYSTAL at HERO.CO. As we head into the holidays and office parties and family get-togethers, cookie decorating, so many different fun things, it can feel like there's a lot on your plate, and maybe the thing that just doesn't take priority is your health. Well, there's a simple way that you can prioritize your health and feel better during the holidays, and that is with DS01. DS01 is formulated with 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains to support whole body benefits, including gut health, skin health, heart health, immune health, gut barrier integrity, gut microbial balance, and micronutrient synthesis in just 2 capsules a day. So, if you want a simple way to prioritize your health during the holiday season, just add this to your routine. One thing that I encourage is habit stacking. So what you're doing already, think about before you go to bed. Are you brushing your teeth, washing your face? That's what I do. I have this evening routine, and I just add on taking my supplements to that. So I actually have them sitting right there, right by my bathroom counter, so that when I'm doing my evening routine, I can just remember, oh yeah, part of my evening routine, habit stacking, brush my teeth, wash my face, take my vitamins, and take my supplements. And so add this into your routine, and hopefully it's going to make a difference in your holiday season, help you to prioritize your health. Get ahead of the new year with a routine that helps you now by going to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/crystal. Code 25crystal.
So you talked about daily practices, and you talked about cultivating intimacy and repentance. And for someone who is just new to these concepts, are there specific things that you practice on a daily basis to really intentionally build this intimacy to grow closer to God?
Yeah. So a couple of the questions in the devotional, like one is, how do I repent? There's not only one way, but I offer some prayers, some psalms that we can pray that help us go to God with our repentance to start practicing that language. So I hope that's helpful. I don't know if you're familiar with the book, Practicing the Presence by Brother Lawrence. It's so short and so profound, but he constantly talks about practicing the presence is about cultivating the holy habit of conversing with God. It's actually that simple. The holy habit of conversing with God. In the devotional, I phrase it as preoccupation with God. Like, Lord, I just want to be preoccupied with you. I just want to be aware of you at all times. I want to be, when I'm worried, I want to just start talking to you about that. When I'm joyful, I want to just start thanking you for that. And the practice of the presence really does become more and more natural as we do it. And then you begin to make it a rhythm, and it's not even intentional. You're just practicing the presence causes you to enter into the presence and enjoy the presence and know what the presence feels like. And then obviously a really significant piece of this is being in the Word, because we don't know what the voice of God sounds like if we do not read the voice of God in the Word of God, right? So if you're saying, well, I don't hear God's voice or I don't hear back from God, my first challenge, and I would challenge my own self with this first in seasons where I'm not opening the Word as much as I need to, is, well, how do you know what his voice sounds like if you're not reading the letter he wrote to you, which is his voice? And then it's amazing the way you really do start hearing his voice, not an audible like, hey, Jeannie, this is what you should do, but like thoughts you have that you know are not your own, because the Holy Spirit makes known to us the thoughts of God. But if we don't know what God's voice sounds like, how are we going to know that's the Holy Spirit telling us the thoughts of God for us in that situation or that hardship or that moment of delight, right? And so, man, the Word of God, every day the devotional ends with Word and Spirit. And so I can't stress that enough, that the vibrant, deep Christian life must include, and I don't love using the word must, but I really feel that strongly about it. Like, it must include the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Those two are so intricately woven into a deep and intimate life with God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, right? And one without the other leads to all kinds of problems that I talk about in the devotional. But if you want to deeply enjoy intimacy with God, those two things that work together will completely alter your relationship with God.
So as you're saying this, I can think of people who are feeling like, are you just saying these things that I must do? You know, like how Christianity can sometimes be seen as like this legalistic list of do's and don'ts. Yeah. How do you respond to that? Because I sense and I know that's not what you're saying here.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up, because one of the other things in the devotional is the pursuit of holiness that leads us into intimacy with God. And yet holiness is often seen as a checklist of do's and don'ts, a burdensome list of things you should do and you shouldn't do. And if you don't do, right, it's just this long list and it's burdensome and it's heavy and it's all on you. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because holiness is, if we say the pursuit of holiness, I like to think of it as just the pursuit of Jesus, because Jesus is holy and he says, be holy as I am holy. So when I think about the pursuit of holiness, that just means I'm in pursuit of Jesus. Like, I'm just pursuing you, Lord. And while that might sound like something you must do, gosh, friends, like that is the invitation into the deep, vibrant, abundant life. I mean, because it does require intentionality. It does require obedience. I mean, the Lord said, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. But it's not because he's trying to lay all these burdensome, heavy things on you. It's because he wants to give you freedom and life and joy and peace. And so if those are the things we want, then we have to get okay with knowing that's going to require some intentionality, right? I mean, nothing, we don't experience anything without intentionality. And the truth is, when we do nothing, we don't drift toward God. We drift away from God, right? I mean, I tell a story in the devotional about how I love to paddleboard. It's like one of my favorite things to do. We have a lake house and I just love to get on the paddleboard. And then I like to go far out, put my paddle down, and I love to lay on the board and just listen to the water lapping. It's like one of my, it just brings me so much peace. but I can only do that for so long, right? Because my board starts to drift. A boat comes, I drift into a dock, right? Like my drifting never takes me like safely back to my home spot. You know, it takes me into danger or destruction or off track. And our relationship with God is a lot like that. Like I want to paddleboard drift into like get myself into his presence, meaning we're not chasing him down. He lives in us, but to pursue means to seek with great energy. So we're not pursuing somebody who's hiding from us or doesn't want to be found. It just means we're seeking with great energy a deeper life with God. But if I put my paddle down and I stop intentionally pursuing him, I'm going to drift away from him, not toward him. That's the enemy at work. That's the world at work. That's our sinful nature at work. And so it does require intentionality, but the rewards of that are greater than anything else you could ever fathom. It is the invitation into the more than you could ever ask for or imagine life. Not free of suffering, not free of pain, not free of disappointment. I have a little of all of that in my own life right now. But to know God's witness and his presence in those things, I cannot imagine walking through some of the things we're going through, not knowing the nearness and the gentleness of our God.
That just reminds me, there's something that we've been walking through that's just really, really painful. And it kind of came to a head this last weekend, and it was Saturday night, and I'm just feeling this like overwhelmed with the heaviness and the weight of the brokenness of this world. Mm-hmm. And Sunday morning, I get up and I know I need to go to church. I mean, that sounds bad. That sounds like a to-do. It was just in my heart, you know, like I knew the thing was to pursue God. I needed to be in community with other believers, mm-hmm. but I really wanted to stay home.
Yep.
Like I wanted to stay home because I didn't want to kind of have to face the weight of what we're carrying with other people, which yeah. I mean, that's exactly where I needed to be. But I walked into church and I sat down, and the very first song was just all about the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. And then the next song was the goodness of God, which it's one of my very favorite songs. And I'm just literally standing there with tears in my eyes of just thinking of the goodness of God and how God has been so faithful. And the next song was the old hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I just, like, when I got to that point, I was just like, God, you literally planned this song set just for me, yes. you know? And I just was singing, like, I love Jesus.
Yes.
Like, and it's such simple words, but like, to the core of my being, when my heart was gutted and there's so many things that don't make sense and so many unknowns, I love Jesus,
yes.
you know? And it was just like that beautiful place of, but I had to get up and go to church.
Yeah.
Like that was what my soul needed. And I could have stayed home and been like, this is easier. But it's not, because the easy thing was like actually having my heart lightened by remembering who God is and how much he loves me and how much I love him. And so I was just, as you're saying this, I was just thinking of that. It was just such a beautiful moment for me of just remembering God. And I think as we pursue him, we see him pursuing us. Mm-hmm. Like that was like, I felt so pursued mm-hmm. and seen by him there. And I'm thinking as you're sharing, there are a lot of women listening who are feeling like, but Jeannie, I'm so busy. I'm so overwhelmed. Like the thought of taking the time to build this intimacy, to pursue relationship with God, repentance, all these things, like that sounds good. Like I want that, but I'm just so tired.
Yeah.
What do you say to that woman?
I get it. I'm so tired too. But the thing that we want is on the other side of the pursuit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I willing to settle for exhausted and weary and overwhelmed? Or will I turn my gaze to Jesus? Let him supernaturally strengthen me. Let him increase my capacity. Let him remind me that it is through my weakness that I get to experience his strength? I mean, that's a question I have to ask myself. Am I willing to settle for this, how I feel, like my overwhelm, my grief, my disappointment? Or will I, will I set my gaze upon Jesus? And listen, these can happen, just little things. I mean, you can communicate with him while you're driving carpool. You can pray and repent while you're doing dishes. Like, I can be doing dinner dishes and being like, Lord, man, I missed the mark today when I raised my voice at Finn. I missed the mark today when I held on to bitterness toward my husband. Like, these are not things you have to go sit in a chair for, right? These are not things that, being in the Word, yes, but there's also this beautiful thing called the Bible app, and we listen to that on our way to school every morning. So there are simple and easy ways to incorporate the Lord into our daily routines. But ask yourself the question, am I willing to settle for life without him? Or do I want the life that he died and rose and ascended to give me? What do you want? Is it worth it to you? I mean, is it worth it? This summer, I wrote a post on Instagram, very similar to what you're saying. I weed when I'm going through hard things. Like, there's just something about letting my hands get in the dirt and ripping those weeds out. Maybe it's because it's the only thing I feel I have any control over, you know, that and vacuuming. I can control the dust for a day. And I talked about having really hard conversations with God this summer over things that were hard for me. And it came to Sunday morning. And this is literally in the post, it's a very similar experience. It came to Sunday morning and I was like, I'm mad at you. I don't know that I want to go worship you today. You know, like, you're not making sense to me right now. I traced your faithfulness. I know it all in my head, but my heart is, got my car, went to church. And man, if worship wasn't my warfare, I don't know what was. But the same thing, when I rehearse back to myself what I know is true, when I, instead of stomping my feet and putting my hands on my hips saying, you know, Lord, you know, answer me or do this thing or fix this thing, but instead of just acknowledging his sovereignty and his goodness, it changes our hearts. It really does. There's a chapter in the book called Why Does God Command My Worship? And it's not because he has an ego that needs to be stroked. It's because he knows what it does for us. He knows what it does to us. It's not God on a control trip. What's the word? Like a something trip. But it's a God who knows that his presence changes us. Mm-hmm. And as we worship him and declare what is true, the Holy Spirit in us confirms that. Mm-hmm. And it fills us supernaturally, like you said, with fresh hope. Might just be for the day and we got to do it again the next day, right? But that supernatural filling of the fruit of the Spirit comes when we choose to worship him, even when things don't make sense, and especially when things are hard.
And I feel like it's in those moments when your faith is being tested, you know, because faith is not something that we can see or touch, but it's that belief in the character of who God is, mm-hmm. and who he has been and who he will be and who he is right now. And it's in those moments when you just feel so deeply like you are held by God.
Yep.
And you have no other explanation for feeling that peace in the midst of what could feel like just total upheaval.
Yep.
But you just know you're held and that God is with you. And that doesn't come unless you pursue and cultivate the intimacy with God and the repentance and the holiness and find that freedom in obedience, following God from your heart, not because you have to, but because you get to. And I appreciate you so much. You have just influenced my life so deeply through what you've shared online, through what you've shared in your books, through the life that you live. And I am just thrilled for this book, this new resource from you that we can use in those seasons when maybe life is hard, or maybe seasons when life is going well, yes. but we need to use those seasons to really be cultivating that relationship and being closer to God. So I encourage everyone listening, get a copy of Janie Kenyon's devotional, Closer to God, a 40-day pursuit of God's personal presence, I can just pretty much guarantee that you are going to be changed through reading these words. God's going to use it to just really move you closer to Him, closer in intimacy with Him.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.